Welcome to the Redacted Apostate. My name is Nicole.
And I'm Carl.
And today we're going to talk about Lori Vallow Daybell and Chad Daybell and the prophecy, because this week started jury selection for Chad Daybell, and I thought it'd be a good time for us to talk about the whole situation.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I'm actually, this one's going to be an interesting one because it kind of falls in line with the Ruby Frankie discussion that we had, where this is how things could have ended up.
Right.
For the Frankies.
Right.
And Denton, thank God, just a lifetime of counseling for kids, but not dead and buried because they're zombies.
Right. Yeah. So this was a case where the Frankie case, I had no idea who they were, and our son came up to us and said, hey, they're this influencer just got arrested, and that kind of put me into that world. And then I realized the connections between a lot of the beliefs that the Daybells had too. But in 2019, when the children went missing, I started following it then. And the reason why, and I've said this in a previous podcast, is that Lori Vallow Daybell is like a replica of my mother.
That's scary.
Yeah.
It's really scary. I mean, I've only met your mom twice. Yes, twice. I've only met your mom twice. Yeah, the second time was briefly when your aunt was in the hospital, and the first time was on our now infamous road trip coming from Chattanooga.
Right.
Where she explained to me, with me in the car, explained to you that you need to leave me so that you could be with
a child molester.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So, yes, I can very much see how she's very similar to your mom.
Yeah. It is so much so that it's scary. It scared me and made me really follow the case completely. Mm-hmm. Because it's something that I used to say to my mother constantly. What would you do if your religion told you to kill me?
Right.
And she never would answer. She never could answer that question.
I think the way you explained it is she had an answer, but it wasn't the answer that needed to be said.
Right.
And I believe her answer was, the church would never ask me to do that.
Right.
And that is not an answer.
No.
So that is telling me that, well, they'll never say that, but if they did, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm...
Very clearly, she would have done away with me if the church told her to. And we talked about my upbringing a little bit before, where I'm thankful that I was raised in the cult I was raised in, because at the time there were some scarier ones, right. And I'm still alive today, yeah, because of it. So in that aspect,
I'm only slightly mentally screwed up. So.
Right. Just a tiny little bit. So I'm very thankful that she joined a cult that didn't kill me like, right, Lori Vallow Daybell killed her children. But it was the right time at the right place, and she could have easily joined the People's Temple at the time. She could have easily joined other cults where worse things happened to children. And Lori Vallow Daybell, from day one, I could see this connection where she believed so thoroughly in what she was stating. And all the way through to her trial last year, where she went to complete crazy town and was saying how the dead people, his dead wife, came and visited her.
It's only crazy to you because you're a non-believer.
Right. Yeah.
You know, let's be honest.
But in that diatribe that she did at the trial, mm-hmm, I could see my mother.
Yeah.
I was like, I was looking at the woman that raised me. And it's just so scary. It's just really frightening that there are humans out there that would that would kill their own children because of religious beliefs.
Sort of like, how did you make it out alive from a set of circumstances that could have easily gone to your zombie or another avenue that was horrific?
Yeah.
Because to give some context, and I'm giving this context through my lens of being someone trying to help a situation but can't, and seeing how your mother interacted with phone calls and everything else, the way that I saw things was that your mother was using disownment as a tool or a leverage point to try to get you to change your mind or change your beliefs or whatever it was.
Right.
Which is, you know, when it comes
to death also.
Yeah, exactly. So that was always the set of circumstances that I was overhearing was, well, I'm going to bring you back. Oh, no, I'm disowning you. I'm going to bring you back. Oh, I'm disowning you. So it very much felt like whims of maybe what she had heard in church that week, mm-hmm. or what, you know, the elders were saying, or who knows? Who knows what was going on at the time? But just from that standpoint of disownment, I mean, that's not a good thing. I mean, if I had to choose from, you know, all the possible outcomes of a cult, I think that would have been the one I would have been, you know, that I would have chosen. But it's still not, I mean, it's not good in any way.
No. The same aspect that baffles me about my mother now that I have children is how she could so easily disown me and disown her grandchildren. In her core beliefs, essentially, she relegated her grandchildren to be killed by God. Mm. So by her, and I even told her this, you are disowning me, and this is it. I finally drew a boundary and said, I can't, like you said, early on in our relationship, she would disown me, take me back, disown me, take me back, you know, just like back and forth. And finally, at a point, I set a boundary and said, this is no longer going to happen. And if you want to disown me now, go ahead. And here are the consequences for you disowning me right now. You will never see your grandchildren. And that means that God will kill your grandchildren. So based on your own belief, you are sentencing your grandchildren to death.
And that was what she accepted.
She accepted it. Mm-hmm. So I just can't imagine. I can't imagine a parent doing that under any circumstance. If the child commits some major crime and ends up in prison, even then I would still.
We've had the discussion many times that if something happened with our children, and I want to be very clear that I'm not saying we support their actions, but we've always kind of halfway joked, halfway not, I'll be there for your parole. I'll be there for your sentencing. I'll, you know, and it's true. I'll be there.
Yeah.
And we will, we would both be there. You don't get to choose how much you support your child based on a difference of beliefs or I don't view myself as being this, I'm an amazing father. I've got my many flaws and I try my best though, but I can't ever see myself just being, oh, so-and-so's in jail. That's tough.
That's it. That's it.
All right.
Yeah.
We're done. It's like, no. Well, what did they do? Oh, they killed a guy. Did he do it? Oh, 100% they did it. Okay. Well, I will be there and I will tell them I love them. Ask them what the hell they were doing. Why? You're an idiot. But I will support them. I will be there throughout the trial and everything else. I would do it because
But that's the extreme, right?
Love or chemical or whatever it is that's making that happen, it's there. And, you know, I would do that to support my child. I wouldn't put something else in front of my child.
Yeah,
other than alcohol.
An old-fashioned in front of your child.
Sorry, what were we talking about?
Yeah, and that's to the extreme That's the absolute extreme of parenting when a child does something so bad, they end up incarcerated for it. But the reality is, I'm a mom. I live in suburbia. I have a job. I pay my taxes. I do everything you're supposed to do. I don't do any drugs. I don't commit any, I don't do anything. I live by the law. Everything I do to any normal parent would be fine, would be absolutely great.
Yeah.
But I am this horrible sinner that's going to be killed by God, and my children are going to be killed by God. And it's because I chose not to marry in the church and believe.
Believe. Then that's what it all comes down to,
mm-hmm.
is it's the same issue that I have with the cults and people that we've discussed is, it isn't so much what they believe. It's how they believe it. It's how far would you be willing to go to put that belief in front of something that is right in front of you?
Yeah. So going back to the Daybell mm-hmm. stuff, they dehumanized these other individuals by calling them zombies.
Right.
And they said, this person is now infected. They don't deserve to live anymore because they, when all they could have done is said, they're a zombie. We don't want them anymore. We don't want them in our lives, but they killed them.
And if you, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the grandparents were like, we will take them.
Yeah. Yep.
There's your out right there. That,
right. You're like, oh, this kid is a zombie. And JJ was on the autism spectrum, and he was the boy. And that was another thing that hit home, was that he was autistic,
yeah.
and they killed him. The whole story just felt way too close for comfort. And it's just an obsession that created in me, and mm-hmm. it never died. It's still there. It's like watching what my mother could have done.
Do you feel that it's a way of controlling your narrative? Is that if you can get some sort of understanding about the Daybells, you can get some understanding about your mom and kind of what you went through?
Maybe. I don't really know. I don't really know. It's just a weird coincidence. The whole thing is just so strange.
I don't think it's a weird coincidence at all. I see these patterns that right. exist in all these cults. And when we start to kind of do these deep dives into the cult and what they believe, and there's patterns that emerge. So your story doesn't seem far-fetched and far-fetched the incorrect word, but doesn't seem coincidental to someone else. Like, oh, wow, this is very close to this one. Yeah, you're very close to a lot of all the other ones too.
Right, right.
So it's the outcome that really separates the your story from, you know, Jonestown, from all the other cults that we've heard of that went really south. And it's not the message. It's not leadership. It's just day-to-day circumstances. And that's all it is. All that would be required is a small push one way or a small push another way.
Right, right.
And if you remember that when the organization that you were with, they started losing a lot of money and they were having to sell off their stuff. The question that I had was, do you feel that this is going to precipitate action? Because they are an apocalyptic cult.
Right.
Into, hey, if we kill everybody, or you kill yourselves, or we kill other people, or whatever it is, that could accelerate God's return to earth, or Jesus's return to earth and the coming apocalypse, right? So It's so, again, for me, it's always, it's about the circumstances of what drives these cults, not so much their message. I believe most of them had the same kind of message, that for control and, you know, keeping the cult members in line.
Right. Well, it's a very easy leap mm-hmm. to do exactly what you said. The either we're going to encourage Armageddon to come, we're going to encourage the apocalypse, and we're going to do that by committing mass murder, or we're going to do that by killing ourselves, or whatever it is. And all it takes is one charismatic leader to rise to the top with that kind of message. And because there's been so much control in this religion for so long, mm-hmm. that a vast majority of them would. Some of them wouldn't. I mean, there's quite a few million of these people, but the vast majority of them would.
Yeah.
And because they're all over the world, it would be a worldwide event mm-hmm. that could happen.
Yeah.
It would be catastrophic. And they could form their own supercells. They could really carry off. I think most governments would step in and do something about it, but then that would feed into their narrative.
Exactly. Of it's not a good thing.
A persecution porn.
Right.
So whatever they could do is, this is a really real possibility for the religion I was raised in. Mm. They could say, listen, we have this timetable of when we said the end of the world is coming, and it is at the end of the end. They even say it in their own garbage. This is the end of the end of the end, right? God's coming.
You mean back in the 50s, right?
Right, right. Yeah. God's coming. Yeah. So, but we just realized we've received the revelation that now we have to encourage God to come down. And we're going to encourage God to come down by doing what the other people did. We're going to poison the wells. Right. We're going to...
And it starts off small, these kind of things. So they wouldn't even say, we're going to start Armageddon, we're going to continue Armageddon. But there are small actions you could take to show the signs that Armageddon is coming.
Right. They could pull a whole bunch of stuff out. And then they could say, okay, we're gonna get gunned. We're going to start compiling guns. Even though we've been very anti-gun, we've realized that was wrong. We're going to have guns. And then...
Because it's right on our doorsteps, people. The enemy's right there. Armageddon is right on the doorstep.
Right there. We need to
don't do something.
We need to prepare. We need to take action. And then when governments step in through surveillance and realize there's these supercells,
you get Waco.
Then you either get Waco or you get persecution porn, which is exactly what they predicted would happen.
Yes.
So they predicted that there was going to be this whole bunch of where they're going to be the persecuted for their beliefs. And so it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Agreed.
And then, but then the world never comes. And that's the thing about the whole Vallo Daybell, is that he was predicting the end of the world was coming. He had received the prophecy. And it was like June 21st, 21 or 22, somewhere around there. I don't remember the date. I didn't write it down.
She was in prison during that time.
She was in prison.
Yeah.
And I think he was in prison at that time too. They were both in prison. And the day came, of course, and the end of the world didn't come. But I was texting some friends, and I was like, maybe, oh, today's the end of the world.
But maybe it did.
For them.
Right, that's the whole
thing.
It was
the end of the world for them.
Yeah, so he was right. Mm-hmm. He was absolutely right. We're in prison. The end of the world did happen. And we're the only ones because we couldn't get our message out there.
Yeah.
Everybody else is gone. Everybody else is now, everybody's a zombie now.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. So I'm really curious about this case. The court case for her was interesting because her legal team was not allowed to really do anything because she believed so fervently.
What do you mean by it didn't?
So they were not, she didn't allow them to bring in their belief system or bring any of that kind of reasons that they killed the children. None of that was brought into court.
So they couldn't bring religious doctrine for the defense as evidence of intent.
Because of her. Right. Because she still fully believed it. So she pretty much made it so that the lawyers couldn't defend her. And then she spouted all that nonsense at sentencing.
Yeah.
So, but they took off the death penalty because I think she's just crazy. Mm. Like my mom, very much like my mom. My mom would spin in circles like that woman did too, and spout nonsense and all that kind of stuff. Exactly the way Lori Vallow talked is how my mother talks too. So they took off the death penalty for her, so the case moved a little quicker. But it was very clear from beginning to end in the way that she dealt with her legal team and what she said at the very end that she believed 100% at that point. So now we're in his chats. He's the one that was the prophet and received the prophecy and said, and he was just out for Trim. Like, that's all he was for.
Right, because from what I remember, he was writing like all these different books and they were all failures.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But then he wrote this book and then people actually like, oh.
No, he's always been a failure. he's a failure. And he was looking to cheat on his wife. Mm. He was actively looking to cheat on her. And he was going to all these like Mormon group events where they have their little, like very similar to what we talked about with the pen papers.
I'm a book writer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he would go speak at these preparing the people conferences that all these other crazies were at, all these other crazy Mormons were at, where the Frankies and all of them, they were all kind of part of those same kind of circles.
I wonder if they attended the same groups at one point.
There's intersections there that are so gross.
It wouldn't shock me.
No, not at all. So they met, but he was actively looking to cheat on his wife.
Right.
And then he met her, and it just kind of, they were just like the natural
gasoline in the match,
natural together. Born killers, yeah. The two of them when they met. And going back to my mother, because that's what this podcast is about. This is about all about my mother, me still dealing with issues.
How I left my mother.
How I left my mother. Right. What was I saying? Oh, so I could completely see how my mother could have fallen in love with a man if he had enough power in the church, and she would have done absolutely anything he told her to do.
Yeah, because your dad was not that person.
No, dad is not that person at all.
Dad is kind of the opposite. And the fact that your mom and your dad actually got together is still unusual.
My dad is still in love with my mother. I remember the first time I met my dad's, she's passed away, but his last wife, the first time I met her 30 years ago, she said, your dad really loves your mother. Like she knew that was the love of his life. He loved her so much. He even loved her through crazy and not crazy. I mean, he loved every bit of crazy about her.
Wow.
And then I remember him telling me that he just couldn't deal with the religion anymore. He was just like, I can't deal with these people. Yep. Like, I want your mother, but I don't want any of these people anymore. But, and it's so funny, I was thinking about my mother and how she would have done anything for, if a man had enough power in the church and she married that person, she would have done anything with him, the similar to the two of them, the Vallows or Daybells or whatever the fuck their names are. And I was thinking about when you were talking about being in the car with her and how ridiculous she was.
Yes.
And before we even met, we were introduced. We went on a blind date. We were set up by a mutual friend of ours. And that's how we met.
A Farrakhan Muslim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great guy. And so one of the things he told you was, yeah, she's a great girl, but she's got issues with her mom.
Yes.
It's like he didn't even know the half of it. No.
That's just what he knew, right?
I got more issues with my mom. But it was this constant, when I left, she knew why I left, because when I left, I had legitimate reasons for why I was leaving. Mm-hmm. She knew all those reasons. And that was, she could deal with that. What she couldn't deal with was when I started to realize that it was a cult. Mm-hmm. When I started to realize that, okay, more than all these issues that I, for the reasons I left that she agreed with and she knew, when I started to realize, no, it was a cult. Mm-hmm. And put those, because when I left, I didn't really understand that. It took me years after I left to understand I was in a cult. And then that's when I started asking those apostate questions that I was asking her. And then she realized that I was an apostate. So a lot of the issues were...
You were just disillusioned at the time and you'd be back and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she always thought, because I was such a great member. I really was. I did my best to please her. Everything was just to please her. Yeah. And I did my best that I could in that religion. And it was never good enough. Mm. It was never the right thing. It was never enough. No matter what I did, it was never enough.
It's usually a warning sign for religions that if you are spending all of your time to please, you know, the religion or the leaders, and you can never achieve anything like that, that's not a positive place to be.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm not fond of my religious upbringing, but you could be a bad person in the church and still be loved.
Right. Right.
They're like, you're enough.
Yeah.
You're fine. Cause we need the numbers.
Yeah. And because essentially you were baptized. Mm-hmm. Are you baptized?
Yes.
Yeah. So you were baptized. So Jesus washed away all your sins. So what more is there? Like, you're good. You're good. So, I mean, essentially that's what Jesus taught.
Yeah. I mean, you know, those four people I murdered, that's,
you're baptized.
I'm baptized.
You're
so
good.
It's all good.
You're good. So what does it matter? You're good. And I think she was okay with me leaving for the reasons why I left. Mm. But then
not questioning the church.
So once I started questioning, and that happened, I think probably shortly before I met you, when I started questioning. And this is, you know, 1998, 1999, and we met in 2000, but it was around,
it was just at 2000. Yeah.
Yep. And really understanding the whole story of the religion, and it was a lot of exploration. And even after we met, I was still really deeply involved, and you didn't understand any of it. Because I remember early on in our relationship, you would get mad. You were like, why are you still reading stuff about that religion? You left.
Yeah.
And it was me trying to wrap my head around what had happened. And it still took years. Now I don't give a shit about what anything they... And
I think you've also... You've gotten to the point that you know the information enough that you... There's no further exploration as far as... You know, the religion versus where you were in it. And I think you've kind of gotten that out of the way.
Right.
As well.
Yeah. It definitely is a cult. I was raised in a cult. And it was when I started questioning was when she completely disowned me. I think it got to the point where I was questioning. And then when we were going to get married, that's when all the headwaters united. Mm-hmm. That's when she finally realized, because she had been going back and forth on the whim. Like, 1 week she'd talk to me, 1 week she wouldn't, 1 week she'd talk to me. And then when
I was just a thing.
Right.
That, yeah.
And I would eventually leave you and come back to the church and marry a child molester and be happy. Oh my God. Ugh. Gross. Gross, gross. Anyway.
It was all your fault. He was a child molester.
So. Oh God.
Sorry.
He left the church too.
Of course he did.
Yeah, he did. 13 years ago, he sent me a message and said he had left. Mm-hmm. I don't know where he is now, but...
He still thought that there was something there, too, apparently. Yeah. I left the church, so...
Hey.
How you doing?
Gross.
And I have to be careful with molesting children because the church I'm in doesn't look kindly on it like the last one.
Yeah. Jeez. So gross.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing about that. But that is the mentality. They would cover it up and. Yeah.
So when finally we were going to get married, because before that, there was always hope. Mm-hmm. So I was questioning, we were going to get married. So there was no hope that I would ever go back. And it was at that point that she said, I'm disowning you. And it was at that point too, where I said, no more.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to disown me.
I remember that conversation.
Yeah.
I remember where we were at the time.
Yeah. So. Yeah, me too. It was like a pivotal point in my life because it was at that point I said, I'm not going to allow you to come and go based on whatever the church is teaching you at that minute. Like either you accept me now or you continue with this disowning me.
I would have been better with her just saying, you're disowned and that's it. Just done. Done and done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wouldn't have been happy, you know, that you're going through it, but it would have been like, okay, there's the stance. There's your belief. You're accepting your belief, and as fucked up as your belief is, but that's your belief and you're sticking to it. It was the constant back and forth. Like, what organization is basically saying one day yes, next day no, mm-hmm. you should do this. Now no, yes, no, yes, no. It's like, pick a lane. Because it is the same issue that I have with other religions as well. It's you know, like, Christians accepting or denying homosexuality as a sin. It's pick one. It's a religion. It's a set of beliefs. It's a set of morals, as you say it. You pick it or you don't. If you're against homosexuality, then you cannot accept it in your church. If you're for it, then you have to accept it in your church. That's it. There's no gray part to this. And any church that is like wishy-washy on it, I know they're just doing it for numbers. And if that is your goal, then what is the religion for?
Yeah.
It always felt that way with your mom, that they tried to assuage you in a way just to bring you back because you're a number, not because what they thought you were doing was right or wrong.
Yeah, it's all manipulation, all form of manipulation. And she was manipulating her maternal love to get me to come back right. instead of just having a relationship with me.
And that brings us back to the Daybells as well,
mm-hmm.
is I feel it's the same thing. It's the idea that Chad would change his belief based on what he wanted out of the people that were in the group.
Exactly.
Oh, I don't want these kids anymore because they're annoying.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are zombies now.
Right. My wife is a zombie now. Your husband is a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
When the reality was
he just wanted to be alone with her.
He wanted to be alone with her. With money.
Yep.
With insurance money.
Yep. That was it.
So what happens in this trial then? Are we going to see, is he still a true believer? Does he believe his bullshit? Or is he going to say she's the one? Is he going to turn on her? That's really what I'm really curious about, because she never mm-hmm. turned on him. She is a believer. She believes in him. She's nothing about that. So is he going to turn on her? Is he going to blame her? What's going to happen?
So the question that I have is, we know that she had issues with the Mormon groups that she was with because she thought that they weren't strict enough.
Mm-hmm.
There was something about it that I'm trying to pull memories from the ether here, but that they were like, you can't come here anymore because your thoughts are crazy.
Right.
Like crazy town crazy. I don't feel that that's the way he was. I feel that he was one of that. The group that he formed, the cult that he formed, was completely accidental at first.
It was all about him trying to get laid.
It's like Nexium.
Yeah.
Right? Where I don't feel that Chad Daybell or the guy that started Nexium woke up and said, you know, I really want to start a new religion. I really want to start this cult. How is it that I can manipulate people now to get to this point? Because I don't think if you tried that, it would actually work.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that it's people that are looking for control of others or looking to get something more out of life that they're expected, they're owed, and they get a little bit of power. And they are very they can manipulate people
right
easily. So it isn't so much that they're using these to get to this A to Z timeline. It's more of, I just want to get to B, and B is like Nexium. I want to start a group, a self-help group. Now I've got people like literally throwing themselves in front of me. Oh, this is weird. Hey, I wonder if I could have sex with these people.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to, I can twist that screw just a little more. And there's just, you know, you kind of keep building up on it. And then all of a sudden you're in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if that's the same thing, that like his intent didn't seem like, I'm going to start this off and be like, oh, I want to build a cult that murders children because they're zombies. It feels more that he was, what can I do to have sex with as many women or, you know, get away from my wife and, you know, get money in the mean, you know, so I'm going to write a book. I'm going to go to all these groups. Hey, I've got this crazy lady that is treating me like a messiah. Well, I'm going to foster that.
Yeah.
And then it just, you know, and I guarantee you the whole zombie idea is probably both of their, you know, like they built upon it. That he didn't just say, oh, that so-and-so is a zombie, you got to believe me. It's more of, well, maybe they're zombies. And she's like, well, maybe they are. Well, what do we do about this? I don't know. What do you do with zombies? You know, like, it just feels, it feels like these kind of cults were very natural forming, that they weren't like a single person, not like Jonestown, where Jonestown seemed very much like he was trying to start something from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at that timeline, you can see his intentions were bad right from the beginning.
Right.
Where I just, like you said, I just think he wanted a piece of ass.
Right. I think so too. And we're going to have to revisit this podcast mm-hmm. when this is over, when we have.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to react. The reason I say all that is because if she seems like a true believer from the beginning and she has mental issues from the beginning and she's still a true believer, I have a feeling that he never was truly a true believer.
Right.
And kind of this kind of just mutated and morphed.
Right.
So I have a feeling that if that is the truth, he might be more willing to push it towards her or.
Well, that was always a surprise for me, was why he's going to trial. The evidence is insane against this guy. And they're going to put him to death. His lawyer sat through Lori Vallow's.
Mm-hmm.
The state's evidence is extensive.
Yeah.
I can't imagine him having any kind of defense against this.
Something about a snowball and hell.
Right.
And a chance.
Yeah. I don't see any outcome where he's not convicted and 98% gets the death penalty.
Right.
Absolutely. Just based on what we know.
Right.
He should know that too. I don't know why he didn't flip from the very beginning. This is the question I have too, is that if he knows he's full of shit
mm-hmm.
and he is a manipulative cult leader,
mm-hmm.
the first thing he should have done was like said, it wasn't me. It was all her. Mm-hmm. She was the one that did everything.
And it was her brother.
And her brother.
Yeah.
It was those two that put me in this situation. And her brother came over and killed my wife. But he never did that.
Yep.
He never took a plea deal and flipped on her, which is another shocking thing to me too. So I don't know where this is going to go. The end result is more than he's going to get the death penalty.
We hope.
But is he a true believer? We'll figure this out during the next few weeks.
Oh, we might not either.
Or during sentencing when he's...
still might not. Because you think these... I'm going to reverse that. I think you will find out, but you're not going to find out in a direct way.
It's indirect, based on the same with Lori Vallow. The crazy stuff that she said at the end was like, she's a true believer.
Yeah, not that. Let's just say he's calmer than her.
Yeah.
At the sentencing. Because if he's not a true believer, I think what he's going to say is sorrowful or justifiable or whatever. If he is a true believer, then he thinks that everybody else is a zombie and deserves to die. Mm-hmm. And none of this is real, and he can't wait to die.
Yep.
And he'll just accept it. Yep. If he just accepts it, true believer.
Yeah.
Here's my theory.
Just disclaimer, we're not lawyers or therapists.
Or
intelligent. Allegedly.
But you get what I'm saying, because if they didn't allow her to spout her crazy and she just had to say that shit at the very end, and that's why I was trying to get that difference between the two of them. And it isn't so much about true belief or not. It's more of what is your psychological makeup before you got involved in the cult? And again, you starting with talking about your mom is a perfect example of this, is that without the church, your mom is still crazy.
Yeah. Yep.
So the church did not make your mom crazy. The church did not make your mom be the person that she is. The church fed her more how to behave, and also you are crazy.
Right. So if my mother never would have found the church, she'd just be a crazy lady that would be in our home.
Yeah.
That's just it.
Yeah.
That's pulling crystals doing her thing.
And I'd be like, okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our mentality, we could deal with that.
Yeah.
So I feel that that's the way it is that she might have even had some sort of catharsis, while waiting for the trial to finish, but still is crazy. So she's going to say crazy stuff. She's been brought to the edge. The trial, anybody going through trial, it is not easy. It's very stressful. So it's going to bring out more of any psychosis that she might have or any other issues that she would have. And again, I'm not a doctor. I'm just going by what I can see. So, and you could see that with her body language and the way she was sitting through the thing, like, you guys are all a bunch of zombies. You're all going to die. And I'm in the right here.
Right. She's so haughty. Right. Like, so haughty.
Right.
And my mother is so haughty. Well. Oh, my God.
But Chad doesn't have that air.
Yeah.
He has that air of more of like, has a smugness to him.
Mm-hmm. It's so gross.
I just want to punch in the face.
Yeah.
And.
You want to punch both of them in the face.
Yeah. I pity her more because of her psychological issues.
Mm-hmm.
That whatever occurred in her life to get her to that situation occurred, and then she wasn't able to get any help or whatever that looks like, Chad, I have no pity for, and I just want to take a baseball bat to his forehead.
Yeah.
One for what he did or didn't do for children, but also Just knowing that you have control over another human like that and using it for the worst possible reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just despicable.
Yeah. Yep. And everyone that was murdered had so much life ahead of them mm-hmm. to live. And it's heartbreaking. It really is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It was heartbreaking when I was glued to the TV when they found those children.
Yeah.
I remember that day too, when they found the children. And I was on watching a live stream of YouTube about it because it was such a big deal. And while the children were dead in the ground, they were
in Hawaii
dancing. Yep. The level of conscience that this man doesn't have is insane. It's insane. I hope he gets to death row and he gets fucked.
I don't know
up
if I do or not.
Death row. I hope they fuck him up on death row.
Yeah, that I do agree with. And they tend to not to look well on people that kill children in, you know.
Well, if you've got anyone on death row that has a child that's autistic.
Oh, yeah. Fucked.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, people want the death penalty. I don't necessarily agree or disagree with it. But there are people that I just wish could live the rest of their lives in abject horror.
Yeah. And I hope he does.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
I hope he does. And just, I wonder what's going to happen at this trial. So I'm going to be watching the whole thing as much as I can during
work.
During work. Having it on in the background while I'm working. Because I want to know, and this is going to be the final end of this whole saga, which started in 2019 and is now almost 5 years later.
And I actually don't think it will. I don't think this will be the end. This will be the end of their stories, but it won't be the end of the story because it's the same thing as the Frankies. There's so many questions.
Right. It's this whole undercurrent of Mormonism that is dangerous, really dangerous, and the Mormon Church really needs to get a handle on it. They really do. They need to figure if they want to.
They're going to have to change their underlying.
They're going to have to, but the Mormons, they change their religion. They change their beliefs all the time. They're an ever flowing. They're not like the Catholic Church that it takes. You know, the Catholic Church takes
decades
to make a change. Yeah. They don't. The Catholic Church doesn't change. The Mormons change every new
drop of the hat.
Yeah. And they get a new prophet like every couple of years.
Because they also need, again, it's about numbers.
Yeah.
So whatever we can change to make the numbers.
So numbers, mm-hmm. yeah. And money. The Mormon Church is really, really wealthy. Mm-hmm. Way more wealthy than other cult mm-hmm. religions. They have a lot of power. So they need.
I mean, they got a whole state. I mean,
yeah, you know. They do. They do.
You think about Utah. You think about Mormon.
Mormon. Yeah, they got their own state.
Because they picked the shittiest location on the earth to go.
Oh, Utah's pretty cool.
No, Salt Lake City is what I was referring to.
Yeah, Salt Lake City's not that great, but
yeah. No, I'm not talking about Utah. I'm talking about Salt Lake City. They chose that out of all the other places to go. So,
yeah. So going back to my mom, I don't know if there's more to talk about there.
Well, I mean, there's a lot to talk about, you know, for when it comes to the Daybells, I don't think there's much more to talk about when it relates to them.
Oh, there is one more trial coming up. So it's the trial of her murdering her husband.
Oh, right.
In That's Arizona.
A separate trial.
Mm-hmm.
It's a separate state too, huh?
Yeah. So I don't know if the death penalty, and I can imagine Idaho State Prison mm-hmm. is a whole lot different than Arizona State Prison. there's something in me that's like those prisons are very different. But she went into some of those trials with that same haughty air in Arizona too. So I don't know. And I don't know if the death penalty is on the table in Arizona or not. But so she's in Arizona currently.
Awaiting trial.
Waiting trial.
Oh my God.
For her husband.
Now, what about Chad? Does he get two as well?
No. He doesn't, not for that one.
Because he never actually, did he actually murder anybody?
Well, we don't know.
Yeah.
That's
well, that's what I mean. For what we do know. Because I know it was a lot of her brother that was doing the killings. Oops.
That's, well, because he died tragically.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know who actually murdered who.
And he died, and how did he die?
I don't know.
Wow.
I don't. They say he died of natural causes, but it's really strange.
His natural death causes is, in a death cult, you know?
Yeah. It's, yeah, they're not a sex cult, they're a death cult. I like that. His death is really, they said it's natural causes. They did autopsy on it. They don't know. I think maybe a doctor, probably like edema or something.
Or maybe he had cancer and, you know, that they were using that. You know, like, oh, you're dying anyway, so you could help us here.
Sort of maybe. Thing. Well, part of the testimony is his wife. Before he died, he told her, they're going to pin this on me.
Interesting.
So that probably was the plan.
Mm-hmm.
But can you imagine as an uncle killing your
can you imagine killing a dad or a mom doing it? I can't imagine anything.
And the girl, she was 17, so she would have been 18 soon and gone out of the house.
Everything points to the fact that they didn't have to do this. It there was nothing to gain.
Right.
They got the money from the husband and the wife. Killing them was meaningless. And like, even if it was Chad, it's like, you have their grandkid, the grandparents, saying they'll take them.
Right.
Just do that.
Right.
Like, what was the thinking? And that's why, you know, that's another one of those, was he a true believer? The answer probably is yes, because if your whole goal was to get them out of your life, you had an out, just take it. Unless they wanted, he was going to have to pay money. I bet that's what it was.
Well, I think that's what